Piper's fourth CEO in 30 months. What does this mean for the product line? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. This interview-based feature isn't produced on a five-day-a-week schedule anymore, but at the time we made that change to devote more resources to upcoming video products, you might recall we told you it would be back whenever we had something really special to bring you, especially when it seemed a good fit for audio. This is one of those days. Piper Aircraft came off its display of the Altair business jet at NBAA, with word just a few days later that the program was being reevaluated for its propriety in the company's product line, as well as within the current business economy and the investment goals, which are, after all, the reason Piper's owner, Imprimis, exists. ANN founder, CEO, and editor-in-chief Jim Campbell had the chance yesterday for an extended phone conversation with Simon Caldicott, who's been overseeing operations at Piper from the VP level the past 2 years, and who was just named interim president and CEO. His first statement in the news release which announced his appointment was that the jet was getting another look, just at the point in its development at which some very big checks would have to be written to take the next step. We'll hear that conversation in its entirety today.
Let's kind of start at the beginning of this. The changeover came kind of out of the blue. So I guess what the first question should be is, what occurred to make the change, placing you as CEO? What led up to it, and what was the decision-making process that made that occur right now?
Okay. All we can say right now is Randy Groom and Jeff Berger have left the company. I really can't, and I'm not at liberty to go into the details of what went on and why.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Things for sure. I'm sure you've read my own bio and see that I've been around the business a long time. I've been down here at Vero Beach now for actually about a week short of 2 years. And the last year I've spent running the operation side of the business, where we have made significant improvements in that area of the business. We are starting to turn the core business around. So they obviously recognize that what I can do, and I'm obviously honored that they chose me to take over the role of president and CEO.
Well, it's particularly impressive when you consider the fact that when you take a look at some of the changeovers that have occurred in the industry and the CEOs that have been out there, Piper's been blessed by a pretty good roster of folks over the years. Jim Bass, Kevin Gould, and so forth. You've had a pretty good roster to follow, so that certainly doesn't hurt you at all.
No, it doesn't. I think one of the significant differences, though, is that I'm a 37-year aviation veteran, or if you want to call it a veteran, whereas most of the other guys have come up or came through different industries. So I know the aviation business, as you can see from my bio, but obviously a long time with Raytheon Aircraft and Hawker Beechcraft, and prior to that, British Aerospace, going back to the original Hawker Siddeley Aviation days. So I've been around the general aviation business since the start of my career. In fact, those were the first planes I ever worked on, the old Hawker 125s.
There you go. Well, before we get to the elephant in the room, i.e. the Altair question, what changes might we be seeing for the foreseeable future in Piper's mission profile, and in particular the aircraft lineup outside of the Altair review?
Okay, well, we have a pretty good product lineup, as you know already. We still are making the Warriors, even though we don't actively market them, and those are some of the things that I'm going to be getting into with the team here. In fact, I'm actively got the senior leadership team looking at the product strategy, looking at the existing product to make sure that we're obviously capturing the right part of that market, and at the same time looking to see, are there some of our existing products we could enhance, or even some of our older products we could bring back to fill in some of those market opportunities. So at the same time, this is not a case of not having money to invest going forward, and right now we are just looking at how we're investing dollars. And, I'm sure you know, Jim, that any new development program takes an inordinate amount of cash. And, with the economy changing as much as it has, we've got to relook at the Altair program. But in the meantime, we have investment dollars available to us for our other products, and we are going to significantly look at how we can improve the PA46 family, as well as what can we do with our trainers to make those even more attractive to the fleet operators. I'm really keen that we drive hard to get flight schools back into Piper's. As you know, probably better than I do, several years ago, Piper announced it was getting out of the trainer aircraft business. Well, 28% of all pilots start life in a Piper. There's brand loyalty there. So I want to continue and actually have it that the majority of people learn in a Piper. So I am going to be driving heavily at the trainer market, as well as what can we do with the PA46s to help keep our cap costs down, make it more attractive to the customer, and generally keep that product going. So we're going to spend a lot of effort on that, and we were already starting to focus on those. I'm just going to accelerate that activity depending on what our final decision is here on the jet.
In regards to the single engine line for the moment, with Cirrus all but imploding on its stage, Cessna having dialed back significantly on Corvallis while they're working out the issues with the composite processes and the redesign of the airplane, Diamond-Meyer down right now, and D-Jet and having limited their development of the DA-50. Do you see an opportunity to dust off the higher-end PA-28 line, i.e. the Aero, especially with today's panels and some of the magic that's being done under Catalyst right now, to go back and look at the market that right now is being abandoned somewhat by what were the leaders in the high-end piston market?
Absolutely. I mean, in fact, we just had a senior leadership meeting here earlier this week, and that was one of the questions that came up is, where are those opportunities? Just take the Arrow, for example. We do have an Arrow customer this year. We're going to deliver one later this year, which will have the G500 in it, and we've got some in the schedule for next year in terms of Arrows. But, is there something else we can do to that product? Probably, and we're going to look at those different market segments, and if we can make it where it's a good business case, then we will invest the dollars.
Interesting. You mentioned the 46. What enhancements might we be looking at the 46 line? The Matrix has done surprisingly well despite the economy. It brought you everything but pressurization, but more important, it brought the sixth seat that people needed in a high-performance, high-altitude airframe.
That is an absolutely fantastic airplane if you think about it and where it sits, both the Matrix and the Mirage. And it's amazing right now, but we are actually fully sold out of Mirages and certainly through the end of the first quarter of next year, and the Matrix are not far behind it. I think there's one or two Matrix still available. But I've actually added additional Mirages in the production schedule going into next year for exactly that reason, because that market seems to be pretty hot at the moment. So we're obviously going to continue to drive hard to capture those customers.
Well, one of the things we were pleased at NBAA was to see an internal change to what you're calling now your M-class airplanes. With all due respect, as much as we've loved Mirage and Meridian and so forth, getting into the front of those things has been just absolutely tough, especially for those of us who rarely ignore the opportunity for a cheeseburger. The change in the seating and the ability to get in and out, especially with folding down the co-seat now and so forth, has really made that situation a whole lot easier. It's those kind of small evolutionary refinements that in the past didn't seem to be on top of the burner and apparently are now. Might we see anything more in that genre?
Absolutely. And you asked me what sort of changes. I was about to say we just introduced a series of changes at NBAA, and I wasn't aware you'd actually had the opportunity to look at them down there, but we obviously did make a press announcement that we'd release those changes, and they are small and subtle changes, but make a big, big difference to the customer. And that's exactly part of the product strategy I intend to take moving forward. There's a couple of ways you look at it. I mean, I keep telling the guys here, if you go down to the showroom now and look at the new 2012 Toyota Camry, it's not that much different than a 2011, other than it's probably got a different radiator grill on it, maybe different wheel trims, and maybe it's got an extra little gizmo in the on the fascia panel inside. You know, they're small and subtle, but the customer notices them. And those are the types of things that we need to do on a regular basis. So what is it we want to do for next year's models, and then 2013 and so on? At the same time, in that product roadmap, is to actually have significant step changes. For example, you know, the avionics suite. What's the next generation, and when should we introduce it? Are there any, you know, we've got to start thinking about power plants as we move forward. Where's the next generation power plant? Do we look at putting something else under the cowl? And those are the longer term, larger, obviously, investments that we need to make. But to me, it's sort of a two-stage approach, having your small, minor things, and then having your big ones, you know, spaced out a little bit further apart.
In a moment, exactly what's happening with the JET project. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News. Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220. Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. ANN's Jim Campbell is talking with new Piper Aircraft CEO Simon Caldicott.
Let's get to the elephant in the room. The announcement of a review for Altair kind of shook up a few folks, especially since the conversations we had with your personnel at MBAA seem to be full speed ahead. What changed? Why? And what do you think the future of that program legitimately is at this point?
It's a good question. We are going through looking at the numbers right now again. And really, what's changed is obviously the economy is a big factor in it, Jim. It is not recovering. I think everybody expected it to have started recovering by now, and we're not seeing any signs of it. That whole VLJ light jet market, there's so many people trying to get into it, and so many people who haven't made it yet, and it's still an unknown, so to speak. Is it going to be as big as people say it is? And it's a gamble. You know, do we go and invest a lot of dollars to try and get into a market that might not be as real as it is? So we're looking at that. Plus, you know, we've moved on considerably since the original Piperjet was launched. As you know, we relaunched a revised shape of it last year, so there were costs associated with that. So when you start to put all the numbers in the equation, it doesn't look as attractive today as it did 2 years ago. And all we're doing is we obviously want to make sure that any investment we put into that project provides a return. And if it's not going to provide sufficient returns, then why would you do it? It's purely as a business analysis and timing. I mean, you know, they could have thought about it 6 months ago. Everybody's watching the market conditions, and it just seemed to happen that, you know, we had a board meeting back in August, and since then we haven't seen anything getting better, that we decided we'd take another look at it before we start investing a lot more money in the program.
So the ultimate question then is, can Piper survive and be taken seriously for the future without a JET program?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's, you know, Piper's been around for 75 plus years. With its existing products, there's no reason why it can't be here for another 75 years. You know, everybody's had a rough time over the last 3 years. Piper's been the same. The core side of the business, frankly, wasn't doing well for the last few years. I'll beat my own drum a little bit. They, you know, when Jeff Berg came in last year, He asked me to take over the operations side. I had extensive experience at Hawker Beechcraft and Raytheon Aircraft running operations. And we've made significant improvements in the operational performance here in the last year to demonstrate that the core business can actually make money. And it is making money. In fact, it is exceeding what we expected. So there's no reason why we can't continue to make money going forward and be a viable business. And there are a lot of other opportunities. As we invest in these older models, we should be able to increase some of our sales volumes and obviously grow the business a bit more. And I'm also looking at some other strategies that will help us moving forward.
The statement that announced your placement as CEO seemed to indicate that you're that there was still some question of who was interim and who was permanent. Do you have confidence that you're in place to stay and will Absolutely. be able to fulfill the policies you're talking about?
Absolutely, Jim. And we've had a big debate since that went out. That they are actually not searching for a replacement for me. That's the good news. They told me that. They do not intend to look for a replacement. The interim was purely there, really, because this is my first time as a president and CEO, and they really want to give me like a probationary period to see that I can do it. I believe I can do it. I've got enough experience. I've actually run the whole production facilities. I've had involvement from sales, aftermarket. I've run service centers. I've started life in engineering. There isn't really a part of the business I haven't been involved with over the years. So I'm feel pretty confident that I can see this through and turn this business around.
Well, we'd love to see it happen. I grew up with Pipers, and as a matter of fact, was one of your ferry pilots way, way, way back when in the Pennsylvania days, taking airplanes out to San Jose with your folks and so forth. And
I'm sure you know, Jim, that one of the things that's impressed me in the 2 years I've been down here is that the employees here really are very loyal to Piper. I think we have one of the best workforces going here. They really are extremely loyal. They have Piper's best interest at heart, and they also, like to deliver the best product they can to our customers. And to me, that's what it takes. It takes having good people.
Well, you bring up a great point here, because this is the year that we've had some really interesting object lessons in regards to brand loyalty. But on the customer side, Cessna has taken some pretty hard knocks, especially with the removal of a much favored CEO, Cirrus. I'm a Cirrus owner, so I can tell you that I'm incredibly disappointed at what's happened there, especially once again since that seemed to be revolving around the separation of a CEO that literally built the company. But the relationship between the company and the customers is the most obvious area in which there's been a real problem.
Absolutely. And in fact, one of the key things and key advantages I think Piper has to that respect is that we actually sell our aircraft through a dealer network. And I didn't realize it until about 6 months ago. Our dealer network is actually bigger than Piper. If I take every one of the dealerships and the size of their organizations and add them all together, it is bigger than Piper, here in Vero Beach. And they really are faced with the customer. And there hasn't been much turnover. I mean, we've added a few in this last year, and a lot of that's been because of performance of some of those dealers, but the new dealers we've brought on have existing relationships with their customers who are now going to be Piper owners. So I think, we have that, and I understand. I've known Randy Groom for the last 10 years. I've worked for him and alongside him, and Randy's a great guy, a great customer person. But, when you look at the Piper model, our real front runners are the dealers. And they're still in place, and they are very much behind Piper. In fact, I personally met with the senior dealer, the members of the dealer advisory committee earlier this week, and I actually had a personal telecom with all the principals of the dealers to tell them that I was now here as the CEO and I was instigating this review of the JET program. Whilst nobody likes that, we have to face up to reality. And the good thing is they are behind moving us forward and keeping those relationships with our customers.
Let's take one last shot at something. I'd like to give you the pulpit, so to speak, to speak to not only the Piper customer base, but those who are considering Piper in their future or may consider. What's your message to the Piper Flyers and the future Piper Flyers in regards to where Piper goes from here?
It's actually about creating a new mission statement for Piper. I'm a firm believer, Jim, in creating a vision for the future. Part of what I mentioned before and working with the senior leadership team here on right now is creating a product strategy roadmap. And I'm talking 5 to 10 years. You know, what's every one of our products going to look like? But also part of it is, once we create this vision, I want to be able to put it on one sheet of paper so that every person in this business here can carry it around with them and know what our mission is. What should that be moving forward? There is a big brand loyalty to Piper. Yeah. I mean, 28% of all people learnt in a Piper. I would imagine a lot of those people still fly Pipers today. I would welcome inputs on it, to be honest. Certainly, one of the things we are going to be doing is to continue to enhance the existing products so that it meets the needs of our customers moving forward. But as to the exact word, not sure yet. You caught me early. Give me a few more weeks and we'll have a mission statement.
When you feel it an appropriate time, let me load on up with our Aero TV crews, come down, visit, see what's going on, and let you give that mission statement personally right into the camera.
That would be great, Jim. I appreciate the offer, and we would love to have you down here.
Caldicott acknowledges that there is angst among employees and suppliers waiting for a final decision on the Altair business jet. He promises the review will be expedited and the decision quickly made public. Simon Caldicott is the new interim president and CEO at Piper Aircraft Incorporated. Find out more at piper.com. Jim Campbell is founder, CEO, and editor-in-chief of Aero News Network. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.